Hello, everyone. happy to be here with you again. It seems like forever. It hasn't been forever. A week and a half ago, I was here for the Guiding Light and the Michael Langford Study Group on Wednesday. But I've been on a week vacation with family. Well, a little over a week. We left on Friday afternoon a little over a week ago, and we got back last afternoon yesterday. So, just a little over a week vacation. But we went so many places that it just seems like a lifetime ago that I was here. We made a big driving loop through Montrose, Colorado, Moab, Utah, Bryce Canyon, Zion Canyon, Las Vegas, up Route 66, Route 66 in Arizona, Albuquerque, and then home. So, and one thing, when I'm with my family like that, I don't meditate. I may have talked about this before, briefly. And there are a couple reasons for that. One is that we're, Jasmine and Ron and I are all in one motel room. And the other is we are still getting up early. We get up around 5:30 every morning and hit the activities, whether we're hiking that day or whether we're driving to our next location or whatever. So we are getting up early anyway, but then we're off. And so when I'm on the family vacation like that, I let go of the meditation or the sitting with my eyes closed in awareness, watching awareness type of meditation. I don't let go of being aware. I don't let go of being awareness. I think that's a better way to say it. I don't let go of being awareness. So, if the ego starts chattering about something, which it can on a family vacation, I notice what the ego is chattering about. I remember the truth about what I am. And I don't live from that, whatever the ego is chattering about. I just kind of watch it like I'm watching a movie until it fades away and I remain true to myself. So in that way, the practice was continuous. But the more quiet, private time type of practice I haven't had in a week. I'm looking forward to getting back to that tomorrow. And in fact, to some point, I feel like it's really tonight that I'm getting back to that, because tonight I get to start teaching again, and teaching always gets me into that same zone as early morning contemplation and meditation. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I think that this is what has led me to select the song that I'm about to play. It's a Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun, but I just kind of feel like now I'm getting back into my groove after a very pleasant week, but a week of, being out of it, out of my daily routine. Getting back to it just feels really sweet. So that's why I've selected this song as the opening song today, Here Comes the Sun. It's all right. Funny, I didn't know that that was not going to be the Beatles singing. I selected the song off of YouTube because the version that I have in my playlist is not the Beatles singing. It's Glee. So I wanted to get the Beatles, and so I found one in YouTube that says, "Here Comes the Sun, the Beatles original music video." So of course, I thought we were going to be listening to the Beatles, and then that started off and it was obviously not the Beatles. So then I read the small print and it says that this is from a Beatles Christmas series at Granger Community Church. So apparently it was somebody at Granger Community Church during a Beatles Christmas series where they were all singing Beatles songs. But still, you know, that was a lot of fun, just not what I expected. So the last time that I was here for the Seven Steps to Awakening was 3 weeks ago, and I can't remember why. I guess I've had different obligations. I think in addition to being gone on vacation with my family, I preceded that with a little mini vacation with Danielle and Francine and Jasmine, and maybe that's the only two reasons that I've been gone. But it's been 3 weeks. It's been a really long time, and we stopped right in the middle of a particular quote. We were looking at quote 773 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Let me read that quote to you. "The tendency to see me and mine in the body and the senses, which are not oneself, must be done away with by the wise by remaining identified with one's true self." The tendency to see me and mine in the body and the senses, which are not one's self, must be done away with by the wise by remaining identified with one's true self. And it's interesting because when I was speaking to you all just before I played the song, and I was talking about how on vacation there wasn't time for that more private practice, but I told you that the type of practice that I was still engaged in the entire vacation was being awareness, right? Being my true self. So there were some times when the ego began chattering. It seems like there was one day in particular when the ego got a little loud, and I can't quite recall it now. There must have been something going on in the family, and the ego had an opinion. I just don't really remember what it was. But I do remember it seemed like there was one day on vacation when the ego got particularly loud. And I even slipped into listening to it for a little bit, and so my mood kind of dropped down. And that was enough to wake me up. That was just enough for me to realize, you know, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to be here listening to the ego and having my feelings, my high, my peace, my joy drop down into something else. And you know, just that little slip was enough to wake me up completely, so that even without a daily tune-in time, I was very alert to my true self and who I am, and therefore just not paying attention to, not believing any ego thoughts for the rest of the trip. And of course, you know, then they quieted down some. They weren't as loud as they were on that one particular day. So really the practice that I lived on this vacation was being the true self rather than being the false self, the ego self, right? Being it, the way that I speak, the way that I act, the way that I cast my attention was coming from my knowledge of who I am rather than from whatever the ego might have been chattering about at the time. I know recently in the Gentle Healing group, we've had a lesson where, in fact, it might have been yesterday for you guys. I'm still a couple days ahead of you. But it might have been yesterday for you guys, or it was very recent, where you were asked to claim the true self as what you are. And the way you claim it is that you live from there instead of living from whatever the ego is chattering about. And again, that doesn't mean the ego is not chattering. It just means that you aren't living from there. You're living from your knowledge of your true self. And that's what this quote is pointing to, that living from your true self, that's what a wise person does. You live from your true self. And that then helps to do away with the ego and its perceptions. Because, of course, the ego is nothing but thought. And what makes the ego seem to be me is my attention going into that thought, right? So you take my attention, which is an aspect of life awareness, and it goes into thought, and it seems to give thought life awareness. It doesn't, but it appears that way. It's like shining a light on something, and it lights up, even though it doesn't have its own light, right? If you take something in the dark, you know, anything, a statue does not have any light, but then you shine a light on that statue, the statue lights up, right? Well, if you shine your light of your attention, your awareness on a thought, the thought lights up and it appears to come alive. It appears to be a self. But it's not. And so remembering that the source of that light, the source of what lights up thought and makes it appear to be a self, is a self. The source of that light is a true self. And remembering that true self that you are and living from that instead of the false self, that pulls the light away from the false self, because now you've got your attention back on who you are. And as it pulls the light back away from the false self no longer appears to be a self because it doesn't have its own light. Right? It doesn't have its own light. So this quote says, the tendency to see me and mine, in the body and the senses, which are not one self, must be done away with by the wise, by remaining identified with one's true self. By remaining identified with one's true self. Keeping the attention with the knowledge of what I am and living from that instead of from thought, right? So what we started to do last time was we started to look at the journal entry very, very slowly. And I think we got about halfway through it. Let me read the entire journal entry for 773. I'm going to give you a link in just a second. My computer's a little slow today. It's having a slow day. That's all I have to say about it. Rebooted it a couple of times and it still chooses to be slow. So that's what's going on. So this is the journal entry for 773. In other words, this is what I wrote after contemplating quote 773 the first time on March 22nd, 2014. Extreme self-honesty is called for. I can see myself as spiritual, as clear, as advanced. But what is this I that has these thoughts? And what does it see as myself? And we went through the first part of this journal entry in a very slow inquiry type of way. So if you would like to hear that first part of this, because I'm not going to repeat it. If you'd like to hear that first part of this, what you can do is go to reginadonacres.com and under audios, look for the 7 steps to awakening. And then under step 3, I think it's probably on the second or third page of step three. Look for the audio for 773 part one. And that's where I really go through the first part of this journal entry in a very slow, very careful, very inquiry looking type of way so that we can see exactly what this journal entry is pointing to. But again, I don't want to repeat what we did last time. I want to get into some new stuff. So right now I'm just going to reread 773. I'll start again at the top. Rereading the journal entry, I should say. Extreme self-honesty is called for. I can see myself as spiritual, as clear, as advanced. But what is this I that has these thoughts? And what does it see as myself? As I write this, my right hand is freshly out of a cast. It is stiff and weak. To what degree do I see this as my hand? Am I more concerned about the healing of this hand than another hand? Can I sense my true self with no real attachment to this hand, so that this hand and another hand are the same to me? And that part of this journal entry is what we covered very slowly and very carefully in the last audio. This next part we covered quickly at the end. It is time for ongoing contemplation. And this hand, as well as any other hand I see, these eyes, as well as any other eyes I see, this body, as well as any other body I see, provides the opportunity for this contemplation. When I see this body, I can ask, is that me? Is that mine? What am I? What is mine? When I see another body, I can ask, is that me? Is that mine? What am I? What is mine? I can bring awareness to mind's answers to these questions. I can bring inquiry to those answers. And now I'll continue to read, but this next part we didn't get to at all last time. As I contemplate these questions now, I see that mind is willing, upon questioning, to temporarily drop the idea that this body is mine, but mind wants to claim awareness as mine. Is that true? Is awareness mine? What claims this ownership? Which is primary and which is secondary, awareness or that which claims awareness? I and mind themselves are mere concepts. This needs to be seen clearly and without confusion. And so it is time for ongoing contemplation of these concepts. When concepts are not looked at or contemplated, they thrive. If I will allow awareness to remain focused on them, they will die. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the middle portion of this journal entry, which we touched on just a little bit at the end of the audio 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to get us started there again, get us started into the process of looking in the way that we were looking, and then hopefully we'll continue through and complete all of this time around. So again, here's where I'm beginning. I'll read the part that we're going to look at first. It is time for ongoing contemplation. And this hand, as well as any other hand I see, these eyes, as well as any other eyes I see, this body, as well as any other body I see, provides the opportunity for this contemplation. When I see this body, I can ask, is that me? Is that mine? What am I? What is mine? When I see another body, I can ask, is that me? Is that mine? What am I? What is mine? I can bring awareness to mind's answers to these questions. I can bring inquiry to those answers. So this is where we'll start. And I think I'm going to start with something somewhat challenging, because it's the scenario that's coming into my mind, and so I have to trust what's coming into my mind, right? During part of our vacation, we were in Las Vegas. And one day, we were walking around, and of course, there are casinos everywhere in Las Vegas, and so we went into a casino to go to the bathroom. And I walked into the bathroom, and it was a fairly small bathroom. There were about four stalls. Jasmine very quickly disappeared into one, and then that left one remaining stall open. And there was a lady standing in front of the mirror right outside that stall, so just like three or four steps from the stall, and she was, fixing her hair in the mirror. And I was about to go in the stall, and I noticed that there was a pool towel hanging there, and it was actually, in my humble opinion, a very nice pool towel. It was, probably 6 foot long, a very long towel, very thick. It looked like it was a very nice, very expensive towel, and it was hanging in there. So before I went into the stall and closed the door, I wanted to make sure that towel didn't belong to this lady. I didn't want to close the door if that was her towel. So I asked her, I said, is that your, and I actually said bath towel. The word bath towel came out of my mouth. Is that your bath towel? And for some reason, this lady got really upset. I'm not exactly sure. I would have to engage my imagination. But she got really upset, and she started, she started swearing at me and saying, do I look like I just got out of the bath? Which I don't know. Just getting out of the bath isn't a bad thing, probably. But anyway, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I meant pool towel. Well, do I look like I just got out of the pool? And only she's using the F word, and she's really swearing at me. And I was kind of taken aback by how angry she was. And I just kind of looked at her for a moment, and I realized very quickly that there was nothing that I could say or do that would change her anger. Like, her anger was a decision she had made. And so I just turned and went into the stall and closed the door. And even as I was in the stall, she was out there, swearing and cussing about how I had thought this, that this might be her towel. And she left. After a little bit, she left. But, I'm not accustomed to those kinds of interactions with people. I mean, the last time I remember having an interaction with someone like that was in seventh grade. In seventh grade, there was this woman, this girl. I mean, she was like eighth grade, but she was bigger than me. You know how it is. I might even have been sixth grade, and she was eighth grade, something like that. And it was actually at a pool. And I don't know why. I don't know if I ever knew why. But she decided she wanted to beat me up. Right? She wanted me to go outside of the pool with her and fight her. And I don't even know why. I mean, there didn't seem to be an altercation or anything. So from the time I was in, sixth or seventh grade till now, I haven't had that type of experience. And so it kind of stuck with me. Most things for me come and they go. But this kind of stuck with me. I noticed the rest of the day it kept coming into my mind, and I would just watch it, but it would come into my mind. And even the next day a little bit, it came into the mind, and that's very unusual for me. So I think since that was such a challenging situation for me, that would be a good one for me to use for this inquiry. So So the question, the very first question that the inquiry is asking is, when I see this body, meaning the one that we all refer to as Regina, and I'm going to put myself back in that bathroom, okay? I'm going to put myself in that bathroom. I'm standing there, and this woman is looking at me, and she's extremely angry. I mean, she looks like she wants to beat me up, like Roberta in, you know, in sixth grade or whatever. So, so I'm going to put myself right back there. I'm standing there. She's standing there. We have the appearance of two different bodies. And that's where I'm at in my mind as I practice this inquiry. Okay, so you guys can kind of join me there, at least in your imaginations. So when I see this body, the one we call Regina, standing there in the bathroom, the question is that me? That's the very first question. Is that me? And most, you know, many people would probably answer too quickly, you know, yeah to that. But the purpose of this inquiry is to really slow down and to really look. If I pay very, very close attention to the memory, I can actually see Regina in the memory. I can see, and I'm not just referring to the body, I can see Regina's surprise at the reaction. I can see Regina noticing that there was nothing that could be said, that could be done. I can see Regina, you know, just going into the stall, realizing just walking away was the best thing to do. Going into the stall and just being there while listening to the commotion outside the stall. I can see a sadness that followed, and the sadness came in feeling sad for, feeling compassion for, the woman who became upset, you know, that, wow, you know, to become so upset at such a simple question, you know, there must be a lot going on in there, right? So I can see that sadness. And I could very quickly say, yes, that's me. Yes, I'm the one that had that experience. But if we really pause and if we really, really, really look, what is it that's aware of the experience, the emotions, and the thoughts, and the intuition? The experience, the emotions, the thoughts, and the intuition that occurred in that bathroom. You know, if I go to a movie and I see a movie where there's some kind of an altercation on the screen, I might feel that, right? Maybe the movie has led me to care for a particular character. That's the character that we've gotten to know the best, and now there's this other character who seems to be maybe threatening the safety of the one I care for, and in the audience we feel that. But in truth, we're just watching. Don't you agree? In a movie theater, in truth, we're just watching. So is there any difference at all between watching that character on the screen and watching Regina? I mean, that's really the question. And the reason I'm being so quiet, I don't know if I'm being quiet, the reason I'm being so slow is because I'm actually looking while I'm talking. So that takes time. even right now, in this moment. You know, I can hear this voice speaking. I can hear that ringing in the ears that is always present here. But is that what I am, or am I just intimately aware of this? Is it really just like an up-close and personal theater seat? Like a front row seat with Regina? I told you all that at one point in the trip, the ego got a little loud, and actually it wasn't even about the story I just told you. It was about something with, you know, the family, but I don't even recall it. I don't even remember what it was, or I'd tell you, but I really don't remember it. But when the ego got a little loud, I told you all that I slipped into listening to it for a little bit, and when I slipped into listening to it, my mood dropped. And I told you when my mood dropped, when I felt that, it felt like an old mood. When I felt that mood drop, that was enough to wake me up and cause me to remember myself and to be myself, to abide as myself. Now the ego, whatever was going on with it, it didn't immediately shut up, but I became the watcher, just like watching a film. And then I didn't live from it, and the mood no longer dropped, and I didn't say the things that it might have had me say or do the things it might have had me do, right? I just kind of was aware that it was there, and you know, but I wasn't it. And isn't what happened in the bathroom, isn't that the same thing? Wasn't I just the witness? Now let's pause for a moment. Let's shift away from Regina. Let's go to this other woman. This apparent other woman, I'll say. You know, the one that got angry when she was asked if that towel belonged to her. When I see that other body, and I ask the question, is that me? Now it's much more common for a person, you know, like if they were in the Regina body, that's where the experience was coming from, for a person to say, this is me, Regina, that angry woman, that is not me. Right? But is that true? If I really, really, really slow down and look, wasn't I just watching that woman in the same way that I was just watching Regina? And aren't that woman and Regina equally in my perception? In my awareness. You know, the next question that's coming up is that mine? For both the Regina body and this other woman. Is that mine? Well, some people might say, well, this Regina body, again, if they were experiencing from Regina's point of view, they might say, well, this Regina body is mine, but her body is not mine, right? But is that true? Aren't they both equally in my perception? Aren't they both equally in my awareness? Either one of these two statements has to be true, and I don't think it really matters which one is true. Either they are both mine, because they're both in my perception, in my awareness, or neither of them are mine. And I would probably say that the second one feels more genuine to me, but I don't think it really matters which one feels more genuine. But the second one feels more genuine to me. Neither of them are mine, and I'll tell you why. Because the awareness doesn't hold the concept of mine. So if I'm really in touch with the awareness and not the mind, right? If I'm really shifting back into being aware, in this case, of this memory, the awareness doesn't say mine to either body. The mind might. The one that says this body is mine and that body is not mine. But the awareness, it doesn't. It is just equally aware of both. Equally aware of the situation that was in its presence. And when I really drop into awareness and I look at this memory, I can genuinely say I do not feel more identified with Regina than this woman. I see two bodies. I see what was said. I see what was done. And then I see that it's over. Like a dream. In fact, at this moment, since it is a memory, since it's not presently happening, it has a very, very strong dreamlike quality. It doesn't even have a sense of reality about it. And I can find no reason at all to see it as anything more than something that occurred very temporarily and then disappeared. And in fact, even the Regina, you know, and again, you know, I still, if I look in the mirror right now, I'm still going to see everything that we call Regina, right? Even the Regina that was present at that moment in time, in that bathroom with what was happening, I can't even say that that exists anymore. It's too dreamlike. It's too temporary. Oh, I noticed someone is saying, this is really good. Someone is saying, first, this is helping me with my wife who cheated on me. And then second, I cannot forgive my wife because I am, listen to how important this is, reliving what I saw. This is helping. Can you add me? Very enlightening. I'm not sure what you want to be added to, but sure. But I want to really highlight what you're saying, where you said, I cannot forgive my wife because I am reliving what I saw. That's so important. When we hold on to it in our mind in some way, that's because we didn't drop into awareness and look at it, right? Which is very normal. But we identified with one of the characters in the scene. We said, this was me, and that wasn't me. So I don't know what you saw, but maybe you saw your wife with another man, maybe. So this is me. My wife is not me, although I imagine she has some loyalties that I think she should keep. And that man is definitely not me, right? Even further away, right? And so that's what this is all about. It's about identifying with a character and then playing, living from that character's point of view, that character's role. And then if we do that, yes, of course, if it's something dramatic to the character, we're going to relive it. And it's going to stay very, very alive in us. That's exactly what's going to happen. But if I can drop into awareness, really carefully shift my attention into awareness, and look from there, I can see that all three people in the triangle are being witnessed. I can be very, very present and be aware of the witnessing of even the one that we would call myself. And then if I stay very, very present with even witnessing what's going on within the body, the emotions, I don't know if there was anger or jealousy or whatever, I'll call it anger for now just to pick something. If I'm just really aware of the anger, but notice I'm watching the anger. Then I can ask, what is this I that's watching the anger? What is this I that's aware of the anger? And I can literally turn my attention and drop even more into awareness. And I can feel it. I can feel that even though this character that I call me feels like me, if I drop into awareness, I can feel that that is more intimately me. That is more truthfully me. And then the character that I would call me begins to have some distance. And it becomes just another part of the scene that I witnessed. So again, this inquiry is saying, when I see this body, I can ask, is that me? Literally, is that me? Is that mine? Is that body mine? What am I? And what is mine? And if you really look at what is mine, you find that mine is only a thought. Like I said, awareness doesn't have that thought. Oh yeah, I see your comment about your envisioning her with the man and getting jealous. And yeah, that's the identification with the character. But what if, when this is happening, when this seeing them together and getting jealous, what if you pause, even with that scene happening in the mind, you pause and you begin to ask, what sees this scene? What is aware of this scene? And really start shifting your attention from the scene in the mind to the awareness that's aware. Try placing your attention there not with the jealousy. You might see the jealousy first. You know, you might shift from the seen to the jealousy. That might happen. But then you would say, what sees this jealousy? What's aware of this jealousy? And keep shifting your attention to the subtle, subtle awareness. The awareness has such a strong reality to it, a very strong and intimate reality to it, that everything else becomes dreamy, dreamlike in its presence. Even me. Right? Even me. Even if it's a me that got angry, a me that got jealous, a me that was confused, right? Whatever that me did, the me becomes very dreamlike and distant. Because the awareness is the truth of what we are. And if we pause to put our attention there, we can feel that it's solid, it's real, it's lasting. And like I said, even that me, in my case, that was in the bathroom, you know, there was a similarity to a prior feeling in sixth grade when I think her name was Roberta, wanted to beat me up. And so what happened was those two things kind of linked together in the mind, and it created this feeling of a me that somebody wanted to beat up. And then I just want to comment to follow him. What you've been sharing so far has been very appropriate, but be careful not to go into what your wife was saying, because if you begin to share those types of details, we'll have to drop you from the room, because this room is actually a church. That is, we're called Awakening Together Sanctuary. So we like to keep our board very focused on the topic and not get distracted. So as I was saying, there was a me that experienced Roberta who wanted to beat me up. And then a me who experienced this angry woman who acted like she wanted to beat me up. And a connection got made in the mind with a similar feeling, a similar set of circumstances, not the same, because I was very afraid in sixth grade and I wasn't very afraid the other day, but still there was enough similarity that a connection got caught in the mind. And the me in that was the innocent victim. Now, I could hold on to that if I wanted to. I could identify with that. But is that really what I am? When you look very, very closely at even a dramatic situation, maybe one where you feel like the innocent victim, or maybe one when you feel like the jealous husband, or whatever other situation was dramatic, is that really what you are? If what I am is the innocent victim, that has to be constant. But innocent victim has not been constant. I felt that flavor of innocent victim once in sixth or seventh grade and once in Las Vegas last week. And that's why I say even that Regina that was in that experience in the bathroom was so temporary. It was a very temporary self-image. But it's dreamlike. Now I could hold on to it. I could run it over and over and over in my mind. But that would only be believing something that wasn't true. That would only be not looking at it with wisdom. So when I see this body, I can ask, is that me? Is that mine? What am I? And what is mine? And again, if you look very carefully, mine is just a concept. Awareness doesn't have that concept. When I see another body, I can ask, is that me? Now, if I really compare the is that me while looking at this body and the is that me while looking at that body, I may see that the mind has a different opinion. But in awareness, they're equal. In awareness, they're both something that I witness. So to call one me and the other not me from that perspective doesn't make sense. They're just both there. And temporarily with the energy, very temporarily, that energy. I mean, I'm sure this woman that got very, very angry, I'm sure she's not always like that. It looked like it might be a habit for her, so she may be like that right now quite a bit. There was something she was probably identified with that got triggered when I asked her if that was her towel, right? But she's not always like that. I don't have to know her to know that. No one's always angry, right? That's not who she is. And in fact, if I really look at it, if I strip away, you know, this one innocently asking a question and this one getting, you know, for some reason angry, if I strip that away and I really look, the awareness is the same. The awareness that this other person has, if we strip away the everything that was going on with the mind, is the exact same awareness. There can't be any difference in it. Awareness is just aware. Again, if I really pay attention to awareness, I notice it has no concepts in it. In fact, when I really pay attention to awareness and I go very, very deeply into awareness, what I find that awareness is most aware of is, just to use another word, is life or isness or presence or being. And again, the deeper I go into awareness, the more dreamlike the character, whether it would be the angry character, the jealous character, the innocent victim character, the more dreamlike the character becomes. So what am I? Now again, this says, if we're looking at the journal entry, it says, I can bring awareness to the mind's answers to these questions, because of course the mind is going to say, this is me and that is not. That's the way the mind thinks. So I can bring awareness to the mind's answers to the questions. I don't have to pretend like that's not the mind's answers. Those are the mind's answers. But then I can bring inquiry to the mind's answers. What is it that sees the mind answering? This is me, and that is not. One thing that I experience, and I'll have to make this quick because my time is just about up. But one thing that I experience is I call it attention. It's an aspect of awareness that it seems to have the ability to go out and to come back. And I call that attention. If I am not being present with myself as I am just now in this inquiry, attention will naturally go out. And it might go out into the innocent victim or out into the jealous husband character. And when it's out within the character, it really feels like the character is me. That's what we call identification. But if I pause, as I've been doing for this last hour, and I begin to bring awareness back, bring attention back so that it's not out in those thoughts in that way. Bring it back and rest within itself. Awareness aware of itself and really look from this point of view. It's a completely different point of view. And so that's what this quote is pointing to. When the quote says, the tendency to see me and mine in the body and the senses, which are not oneself, must be done away with by the wise by remaining identified with one's true self. That means literally slow down, pause, bring attention back. Use inquiry to bring attention back. It doesn't mean the mind isn't still there saying whatever the mind is saying. But as we get really, really skilled at bringing the attention back with an awareness and resting here, the mind and what it's saying becomes an object, not a me. The character becomes a temporary passing energy. It's always a temporary passing energy. Like I said, you know, the Regina character is not always innocent victim. Although, you know, she may have felt that way, especially if that lady had hit her, you know. She may have felt that way. All I did was ask you if this was your towel. Right? But she isn't, that's a temporary passing energy. It's not even what the Regina character is. It's certainly not what I am, the witness of that. But in order to really see this, we have to slow down. Oops, and I have to shut up. I'm out of time. Bye, y'all.